Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Early signing day came and went for Michigan's football program without many fireworks. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Plus, Alabama hired former Wolverines linebackers coach George Helo to help the Tide prepare for the Rose Bowl. We discuss ahead on Wolverine Confidential. Happy Friday to you, Aaron. How's things going?
All right. Getting ready for the holidays, and then we got to turn around and head to California, but no complaining. And it's like 40 degrees outside here. It is raining, so that's not ideal, but it's not, at least it's not snow.
I mean, I'd much rather have snow than rain in December, but I mean, maybe that's just me being a little bit weird, but any exciting plans for the holidays before we head to Cali?
No, I mean, typical family stuff around here. I'm not in sunny Florida like you are, but, you know, so I'll endure.
I know. It's pretty nice. Landed last night, and it was like 66 degrees right now. Mostly cloudy, so the sun's not shining, but it's very refreshing to get a few days in hopefully the sun and warm weather before we head to hopefully sunny and warm California, too, for a week leading up to the Rose Bowl. So, and I found interesting yesterday, we spoke to a handful of players this week, and I forget who it was, but they mentioned that, yeah, I mean, Alabama fans are going to show out, Michigan fans are going to show up, and that made me think, I wonder what the ratio is going to be for the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's kind of, typically there's a Pac-12 team in there, and they typically have that home field advantage, but it's kind of a toss-up for this matchup, don't you think?
Yeah, my guess would be close to 50-50. I mean, remember, Michigan hasn't been here in a long time, and they travel very well. And Michigan does have a pretty big alumni base in Southern California, so that's going to help. Alabama travels well, too. I mean, this is a playoff, so I think they're going to show up. Michigan might have more folks. I didn't think about that, but that will be interesting something to monitor once we get down there.
For sure, for sure. All right, let's dive into some news. As we said, yeah, we talked to a few players this week for the first time since I think the bowl matchup, and then both coordinators as well. But like obviously the big news in the past week or so is George Helo, former Michigan linebackers coach, is jumping on board and joined the Alabama staff as Nick Saban hired him. He's not an on-field coach, right? Just maybe as an analyst, but still noteworthy nonetheless.
Yeah, we could have discussed this last podcast because it's been, what, like a couple weeks now or a week or so since the news came out. But I don't know if we forgot or whatever. But looking back, I mean, it is a big deal. I do think it matters. Yeah, George Helo was on staff for 2 years at Michigan as a linebackers coach. Worked under Mike McDonald and last year Jesse Minter. There was a mutual separation back in February, and at the time, folks didn't really think too much of it, you know, because Jim Harbaugh was bringing back Chris Partridge. That was kind of, I think, the goal end goal of all that stuff, to get Partridge back on the staff, and that's what ended up happening. Helo did not end up going anywhere else this season. He was basically unemployed for, you know, the better part of 9-10 months, and then this last week, this news pops up that. Nick Saban went ahead and hired Helo. You know, he was asked about it this week. Saban was. He called Helo a special assistant. He tried to downplay it, was what I kind of gathered from his comments. He said that he wanted someone to begin prep for the bowl opponent while he and his coaching staff were on the road recruiting. Because remember, the week after that, the conference championship games, and it was a similar case for Michigan after the Big Ten title game, the coaches go on the road recruiting, so they're basically gone for a full week. Players often get time off. There isn't a whole lot going on football-related. So he felt like he needed to hire someone to begin scouting Michigan, watching film, and everything else. And who better to do that than someone who was actually inside the program for 2 years?
Yeah, and probably someone that, I mean, probably didn't like the way he departed either. I mean, people are saying like, wow, that's kind of like a dirty move by Saban and Helo. But I mean, it's fair game to me. I mean, it's they hired Partridge and then kind of like showed Helo the door, it sounded like. So, I mean, it's not like he was hired by anyone else. So, I mean, I think it's a brilliant move by Nick Saban. Like, get someone that's close to the program, understands his defense, and pick his brain as much as possible. And like you said, they have a couple weeks to prepare for Michigan. So I think it was almost kind of a brilliant move by Saban in Alabama. And I don't know how much of an advantage it will give them, but I mean, I don't think it's insignificant. I think it will definitely factor into the game and the game planning. And judging by some of the reactions by Jesse Minter and players today, I mean, they're not probably too happy about it either.
Yeah, contextually, you got to remember, Helo is an SEC guy. He played at Ole Miss. He was an intern under Saban in Alabama back in like 2013, 2014. So he has been in Alabama before. He worked under Kirby Smart for Kirby Smart. So there's an SEC connection there. So this isn't totally out of left field, the move. It just, the timing is interesting, right? Like, I think it would have made more sense, or I think folks could justify it better if maybe Saban had brought him on maybe like beginning of the year, you know, like, cause at that point it would have come across as, oh, a guy just helping out a former, you know, intern. And the fact that he was hired, you know, 3 weeks before the game, after the matchup was set, after the opponent was known, I think certainly throws people, you know, especially Michigan fans, probably upset. But you're right. I mean, he was a free agent. He was unemployed. He has the right to work for whoever he wants to. And you're right. If he was upset, and folks behind the scenes kind of signaled to me that maybe he may have been when he left Michigan, you know, it is what it is. You know, college football isn't the cleanest industry. You got a lot of grudges. You got a lot of folks who won't work for certain folks. You got a lot of folks, I mean, they're always trying to get the edge. And look, Jesse Minter kind of acknowledged that this week because he was asked about it. You know, Helo worked for him the last year. Helo is pretty, you know, knowledgeable about the Michigan defense. He knows what they're trying to do. He knows the scheme and everything else. And Minter, you know, he kind of justified it. He said, well, like, I'm trying to call people that might know somebody on the Alabama staff that might give us an edge and might help us. So it's not out of left field that kind of stuff happens. So, you know, it was a brilliant move by Nick Saban. You know, Helo was available. Why not bring him on? And I don't know what he's getting paid, but depending on what he provides and how he does, you know, and when the reports first came out that he was being hired, there's a potential staff opening for him to take over next year. So, it's important to point out too, not only does Helo know a lot of knowledge about the Michigan defense, but you know, the defense was going up against the Michigan offense in practice. So he knows quite a bit about that unit too. Maybe not as intimate knowledge, but he has an idea of, you know, the strengths and the weaknesses and what different guys do. So I do think it matters. I do think there's really nobody better to provide a scouting report of a bowl opponent than someone who used to work for the staff. And not only that, but within the last year. So he knows Jesse Minter, his DNA, what he wants to accomplish. He knows the Michigan scheme, how they're going to operate. And he coached two of Michigan's starting linebackers who are set to play in this game. So he knows those guys better than anyone. So he knows their strengths. He knows their weaknesses. Brilliant move by Saban. I congratulate him. If you're a Michigan fan and you're on the Michigan side, you're probably upset. You're probably pissed off, whatever the case may be. But it was, you know, it's within the rules. It's a legal move. And it's important to point out, too, like Jim Harbaugh has hired people in the past for his staff behind the scenes to prepare for opponents. Go back a few years ago, Jim hired an analyst, Nate Woody, who's now the defensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach, I think, at Navy or Army, one of the military schools. He hired him specifically because Michigan was going up against preparing for Army that year. Nate Woody was, I think, the DC at Georgia Tech the year prior, had played Army in a game. So he thought he'd bring him on, help prepare to play the triple option offense. So this isn't out in left field, but the fact that, again, Helo was brought on 3 weeks before it's right for discussion.
Yeah, no, just another interesting storyline to add to an already intriguing matchup. And yeah, we finally got some players and coaches this week, like I said. And I mean, anything else stick out to you from interviews this week as we're now just a little bit over a week before the matchup?
Not a ton. Michigan, I mean, they have said that they've changed kind of the preparation, at least the beginning of practice here. It sounds like they're doing less hitting than maybe in previous years. They're trying to take it easy on their bodies to try and avoid injury. And, you know, allow guys who maybe are banged up to get healthy before this game. You know, it's been a kind of a storyline all season, right? Michigan's taking this careful, cautious approach to the year and the slow ramp up. I mean, we saw that beginning of the year with like Will Johnson set out the first couple of games. They maybe didn't play guys a full complement of snaps to try and rest and ease their bodies so that they were at, you know, as close to healthy as possible once the playoff comes around. So I think they've kind of translated that into the practice sessions so far, where it's hasn't been as physical. They've kind of, I think, watched maybe more film and done more walkthroughs than anything. And they'll probably ramp up here in the next week so that they're ready to go. Other than that, not a ton. You know, it's been same old guys are ready to go. I think there's an acknowledgement that they need to get over the hump, right? Like they've lost in the semifinals, the playoff the last 2 years. Several of these guys came back to a national championship. So that means they've got to win this game.
All right, let's transition over to signing day now. Obviously, always a big storyline in December these days with the early signing period, which I still think is ridiculous given the, especially for the teams that are preparing for the college football playoff. But that's a story for another day. Bottom line, Michigan has added 27 new recruits, at least freshman high school recruits. And all 27 signed during the early signing period on Wednesday. And like I said in the intro, there wasn't much fireworks for the Wolverines, but I think that's probably a good thing just given what the storylines were heading into the day and being able to really hold on to this class even after all of the off the field things that have gone on inside the program this year.
Yeah, and it kind of hit on last week, right? Like real top heavy. They got some elite guys, some top 100 guys, position at positions where you'd expect. Like Michigan's excelled the last few years: the offensive line, quarterback, running back, tight end, et cetera, et cetera. So, they did what they had to do, right? It wasn't a splashy class. It wasn't a splashy day, but they didn't lose anybody. In fact, they added a transfer. So they did what they had to do. They kind of keep the train rolling, keep things going. Because again, we don't know the future, right? We don't know how many of these guys on the roster right now are going to leave for the NFL. We don't know if Jim Harbaugh is going to be back. We don't know if any of the assistants are going to leave. So, all things considered, like you said, given all the off the field stuff, it was fine. It was a good day.
It's interesting you brought that up because I did speak to a few recruits here leading into signing day, and obviously I asked them about like Harbaugh's future and all the off the field stuff, and they all said like they would feel very comfortable. Like obviously they want Harbaugh to stay, but they would still feel pretty comfortable even if he were to leave. And I think a lot of that had to do with Sharon Moore, what he's shown as the head coach this year. Obviously he's been around this program for a while, has been hailed as a quality recruiter in the past. So I think it's looking at that there's no guarantees, but it's looking a lot like this at this point that if Harbaugh were to leave, it seems like Sharon Moore is kind of being groomed to be that coach in waiting and would most likely step in. Obviously not a guarantee, and Harbaugh could definitely stay. We'll see what happens over these next couple of weeks. But yeah, it seems like whoever was in these kids' ears, they were able to make them feel comfortable about what's going on off the field and the coaching situation, which is always important because, yeah, it's in college football these days, it's really hard to commit to a coach because of all the movement and the assistants' movement. So you got to like the program too. So, overall, I like this class more than last year. They were ranked about the same. I mean, with one commit on or new commit on Wednesday, they added a 4-star edge, Lugard Edokpaye, a top 300 guy out of Maryland. It's kind of funny. All three of their edge guys this cycle are from Maryland. A really late riser, had a breakout senior year. Another guy with upside. I think all three of these edge guys, not highly like a 5-star or fringe 4 or 5-star guys, but all guys with high ceilings. And obviously Michigan has been able to develop edge guys in recent years. But yeah, when you look at the top of the class, they have a few more nationally ranked top tier guys compared to last year, and it starts with Jaden Davis. I know there's been more criticism over the past year with him, and he's kind of dropped quite a bit in the rankings. I think when the 24/7 Sports composite rankings first came out a little over a year ago, I mean, he was a top five guy. I think he was number two overall. And then now is around the 90 range, which is still pretty darn good considering Michigan's recent recruiting. Yeah, they at the position. They got J.J. McCarthy a few cycles ago, but didn't sign any quarterbacks last year. And that was a position of need. And look, he's not going to wow you with his dual threat ability, and he's not the most mobile guy, but he's able to throw on the run. He's been a proven winner, even 24-2 over the last couple of years. I mean, I've watched a decent amount of his film and highlights. He can make every type of throw. He doesn't make poor decisions. And with Michigan's offense, if you can surround him with quality pieces and a really good offensive line, I think he can do what you want him to do and be a good fit for this offense. So we'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy heading into next year, if he comes back or not. But you got to think if he does leave, that Davis could be in the mix to potentially get some playing time and maybe even be the starter next year. Probably pretty doubtful, but given what's on the roster right now, there's no clear guy waiting in the wings. So that will be a really interesting storyline to monitor in the offseason.
Yeah, and I think it would depend on right who's the head coach, because I think Jim Harbaugh has shown caution to call it an apprehension to playing true freshman at quarterback. I mean, he's been he's like, we saw him throw JJ in occasionally, you know, in certain packages and certain things, but I don't know if Jim would do that. I would be surprised if he did. Let's put it that way. But yeah, if he's not here and it's a different person leading the helm, never say never, right? We're starting to see more college coaches, you know, play true freshman to kind of throw him out there and just let him go and roll with him, good or bad. And that's kind of become the nature of college football nowadays. Guys, you know, especially coveted higher, you know, prospects, they're expecting to play right away. They want to play right away, and coaches tend to give them that leeway. So that will be interesting. And as you said, there's no clear-cut favorite next year if JJ were to leave. So I don't know. He'd probably get an opportunity. I don't know if he would end up being the starter, but he'd probably be in the mix. And I think it would be fascinating to watch play out.
Options are dwindling in the transfer portal too. A lot of the top guys have already or are committing elsewhere. So, I mean, by the time that Michigan plays in the Rose Bowl, I mean, who knows how many quarterbacks will be available too. So that's something to monitor. But maybe that makes you think, hey, maybe JJ will come back next year. But again, he was asked about this week and didn't really glean too much info into where he's leaning. So I guess Harbaugh tried to pry some information out of him, and he's like, hey, coach, I'm only focused on Alabama. So yeah, Michigan's in a tough spot there, but I mean, if they win the national title, it would all be worth it. So I guess we could talk a little bit more about the other guys too. I mean, they landed a top 100 running back too, who I really like, Jordan Marshall. He's a guy from Ohio that held an Ohio State offer, was a top target of the Buckeyes, and he played a really difficult schedule in Ohio and still put up really solid numbers. He's a very hard runner, but also has that big play ability in him. Two-time player of the year, Mr. Ohio. This Michigan's getting a good one. He's a guy that I think, especially with Blake moving on and the uncertainty around Donovan Edwards' future, could see some playing time early next year too. He's not enrolling early, which obviously always helps prospects' opportunities to get on the field early. But he's a really intriguing prospect for me, and a guy I'm pretty excited about.
Not only that, I count four guys from Ohio. Is that right?
Yeah, more than any other state this cycle. So we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but with the tides turning a little bit in the rivalry, there's more Ohio guys receptive to the idea of playing to Michigan, because when they were growing up, they never really saw Michigan beat Ohio State, at least during their like middle school and high school careers. And then now that's changing. And yeah, the other three guys didn't hold Ohio State offers, but they're all pretty solid prospects. So getting a couple offensive linemen from Ohio is pretty big. So yeah, I like what they're doing there, and I think it could continue to happen moving forward. With that said, when you look at maybe the Michigan's biggest weakness in this class was probably at cornerback and in the secondary, and two of their top guy targets were cornerbacks from Ohio, and they decided to stay in with the Buckeyes too. So in Bryce West, and I'm drawing a blank on the other guy, but he was another top 100 target that Michigan missed out on too. So it's not like it's the Michigan's has suddenly taken over control of recruiting Ohio, but they have made some necessary inroads.
Yeah, they're clearly trying more, and it's more than you can say a few years ago. I mean, there was a period there where Michigan wasn't even like going into the state of Ohio. They weren't even trying, and you had high school coaches on the record saying, like, we haven't seen Michigan around here in years. That's clearly changed. Like you said, I think winning matters. Beating Ohio State matters. Steve Klinkscale has been on staff now for the last couple of years, and he's got ties down to, you know, down there in Southern Ohio and into Kentucky. So I think that certainly helps too. But yeah, I think just from a you know, a public PR standpoint, I think being able to land a few guys, whether the three stars or maybe guys that weren't necessarily on Ohio State's radar, I think is kind of a feather in their cap. I mean, you heard from Rod Moore right after the Ohio State game. He's an Ohio kid, wasn't recruited by the Buckeyes, felt disrespected, and Michigan's been able to turn him into a really good player. And I think the more they can do that, I think that's gonna like open some players' eyes, high school prospects' eyes to, you know, hey, Michigan is a chance, you know, is a spot for me. I can go there, and they're winning, right? At the end of the day, I think a lot of these kids just want to go where they're gonna win, and they're gonna be on the national platform and win championships, and obviously all the other stuff matters too, right? NIL and facilities and stuff like that. But you know, it's hard to do anything else but win. Like that's the MO here. So yeah, it's been interesting to see. I'm curious to see where it goes, but I do think the winning, and I think Klinkscale has made a difference.
Yeah, most definitely too. And yeah, we just talked about maybe like the weakness of this class, but they do have some strength. Obviously, quarterback was big. Running back, they got in two guys, another running back, Mike Kaapana, a guy that's risen in the rankings from a powerhouse, Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. And then tight end, I mean, getting two top 300 guys at the tight end position, including in-state Brady Priesthorn out of Rochester Adams, who's just outside of the top 100. That's big for them. We know how important tight ends are in Michigan's offense. And then offensive line, I mean, they've had all five guys committed for a while now. I mean, Blake Frazier is the highest ranked of the bunch at 168 overall, but all five are ranked in the top five. 550 in overall. So that's big. They needed to beef up the offensive line, especially with how many guys they could lose after this year. And yeah, I mean, overall it's an intriguing class. Like, yeah, they're ranked 15th, but I just compared to last year, I think there's guys that there's more high ceiling guys compared to last year. And if you look at this year, I mean, there really hasn't been many freshmen that have stepped into big roles right away, which is a little bit different than in the past. But obviously that has a lot to do with all the returners Michigan brought in and guys through the transfer portal. But you haven't seen many freshmen make an immediate impact this year. I expect that to change next year with some guys being able to potentially step in and play right away. But overall, pretty good haul for them, and they're still the Gatlin Bear watch for the February signing period, a top 50 receiver from Idaho that Michigan is continuing to covet. And even though he won't enroll in college until 2026, he's a very intriguing prospect that Michigan is really pushing hard for.
Speaking of immediacy, too, in Michigan, they did land one player from the transfer portal this week, Jayshon Barham, 6'4", 233, linebacker from Maryland. So another Maryland guy. He started 2 years for the Terrapins, was a playmaker. I mean, 96 tackles, 7 sacks. He had an interception this year, and actually against Michigan, and intercepted a J.J. McCarthy pass. So he's pretty familiar with Michigan and the offense itself. So they added him. It looks more like a middle linebacker, which makes sense, I guess, right? Like Michael Barrett's leaving. We don't know what the status of Junior Colson is going to be, but either way, he provides depth. He's going to come in and he can play right away, and he probably will. So another depth piece Michigan's added for the portal. As I mentioned, Maryland native, District Heights, played high school at St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. If you've heard of that before, it's because Michigan's gotten several guys from there. Blake Corum, he played with Derek Moore, in fact, in high school. So I suspect Derek Moore had a say in helping bring him here. But that's one transfer portal addition at this point. We haven't heard of any others. Defensive back Upton Stout is someone to pay attention to, but right now Michigan just added one through the portal.
Good deal. Yeah, so we'll have plenty of coverage leading into the Rose Bowl here on January 1st, and yeah, Aaron will be in California on the 26th. I'll be there on the 27th. We'll have plenty more coverage, and we look forward to talking with you guys more throughout the bowl week. Thanks for listening.